But before I begin, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Help me carry your message tonight. Amen. For those who are new, the meeting's different. We study the books. We're at three different parts of the book on each of the meetings. We will celebrate 12 years, starting 12 years on Saturday. Wow. Isn't that something? Wow. 12 years. And I have something special planned, handout on essentially what the whole deal is. I took all these handouts through the years, and I took all the really pertinent little graphs and things, and I put it together in a pamphlet, and I have plenty of them, so join us on Saturday. And Patty's going to do it as a PDF on the site. When that's going to be done is, that's another issue. But I can't remind her. I love her. She's done a lot of work for us. She's been great. I can't imagine how many handouts I've given through the years. Grady was in my basement, saw the big couple boxes full of all the handouts, all the stuff that we've been giving out. So, hope it's helped somebody. And if you're new, I encourage you to get in the book. One of the reasons I did the site is it's a way of sponsoring people by listening to me teach the book. The whole book's covered. There are tags. You go to the episode. You push menu. Menu is M-E-N-U. You push it. You go to episodes. You push episodes. You go all the way to the bottom. You'll see tags. You can pick the chapter. Cover the whole book, all the steps. Tonight we are on step 5, and we are on page 72. We've started into action. On Saturday we're doing the review. We finished up to step 11 on Saturday. We're ready to do working with others, and this Saturday we're going to do a review of the whole deal. So then we'll be on working with others on Saturday. On Sunday we're on more about alcoholism, and for those who haven't studied that chapter, we're going to read about Jim and the Jaywalker, and powerful stuff. And if you read more about alcoholism and you're not grateful when you leave the meeting that you're sober, there's something wrong with you. When you realize how powerless we really are. It gets the queer mental twist that can tell us it's okay to drink. Anybody ever have that? All right, so anybody here not want to drink anymore? Ever again? Good. I heard somebody say if you do everything in chapter 5 and chapter 6 and you follow the directions and you keep doing them the rest of your life, you'll never drink. They're the specific directions. That's the path that they took. So, step 5, a lot of people, there's a million step 4 inventory worksheets on the internet. Every treatment center has one. I won't comment whether they're good or bad. All I'll say is that the 4-step outline in the big book is very clear, very simple, and I've gone through it a million times on the site. You can listen to it. Because it produces certain things. It has certain specific results that I need. And what I need to know is understand how my thinking was wrong when I live on self-will. Anybody else have that problem? Now, what was I wrong about besides absolutely everything? I was wrong about all my anger and resentments. They were all wrong judgment. I had fear. I had wrong beliefs. And I had harmful conduct, especially in my sex inventory and with other people. And I had shame and guilt. And the 4-step in the big book inventories those 3 areas: resentment, fear, harms done to others, especially in sex. And it's designed to show me how to be free of anger. Anybody think that's a good idea? Mm-hmm. Well, if you follow the instructions on resentment and you get to page 66-67, it says we need to be free of anger. How do we do this? Well, it tells us exactly how to do it in 4 paragraphs. So if anybody wants to be free of anger, I suggest you read that, listen to it. There are 4 prayers you say all the time whenever you're angry. People are just people. They're spiritually ill, just like us. God, give me love, patience, and tolerance for them. How can I be helpful to them? God, save me from being angry at them, and give me a kind and tolerant view of them. By the time you're done with that, you're probably not angry anymore. And the resentments that you're really angry about, it teaches you how to be free and how to forgive. Then you look at your mistakes, your conduct, your behavior, and you get your character defects that are on this card. And these are the things that are the result of living a life on self-will. And if I live on dishonesty, fear, inconsiderate, pride, greed, lustful anger, impatient, tolerant, nothing's going to change, right? And I want to live the way God designed me to be, the personality of God. Now, all we are when we come in is we're not really bad people. We're just short of all the characteristics that God gave us. We're practicing the self-centered characteristics. And we don't want to do that anymore. And then with fear, I learned that it's self-reliance. I'm relying on me, and I have to live on a different basis, trusting and relying upon God. If I'm relying on Michael, I'm going to be afraid. It's very clear. If I'm relying on Michael or I'm relying on what people think of me, then I'm always going to be afraid. And I have to trust God and have faith in God. And then we learn the prayer, God, save me from being angry. Remove my fear and direct my attention to how I should be. Now, that prayer sounds very simple, but what it tells me is if I have fear, I have to ask God to remove it, and then how should I be? How does God want me to be? Trusting in Him, courageous, loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate. Be the best person I can be. Be the best AA member, dad, husband, father, human being. And then God will take care of fear. And it says, if I let Him demonstrate through me what He can do, I can handle calamity with serenity. I can handle anything that happens out there if I'm with God and I trust and rely on Him and let Him demonstrate through me how I handle every situation. Now, new people, when they come in, there's usually a lot of crap going on. So you're overwhelmed. Well, learn that prayer. And then there's a promise. It's on page 100. A lot of people never get there. But on page 100, it says, when we look back, the things that happened when I put myself in God's hands were better than anything I could have planned. So if you're new and things are tough and it's hard, it's very hard. You're living sober without alcohol. You're living with alcoholism and you don't have the tools yet to deal with it. So get in the book and get through the steps as quickly as possible. So the other thing we learned is how our conduct harmed others and how we were selfish in our sex inventory. We're supposed to write a sane sex ideal, and we're supposed to use that ideal for how we relate to everybody. And we don't want to harm people anymore, right? So the things you learn from step four is whom you hurt, how you hurt. You learn how to be free of fear, and you learn how to be free of anger. The other thing you learn in step four is that all your resentments are from fear. Fear underlines all your anger. Whoever you're angry at, there's some fear involved. You don't think they like you, they're going to take something away, blah, blah, blah. There's always fear. We live in constant fear as alcoholics. And we don't want to live that way. Anybody want to live that way anymore? So when I get afraid, I've made a decision to not waste any time on it anymore. Now, it took me a long, many years, but I don't want to waste any time in fear. It's a complete waste of time. God will take care of me. Give it to God. Stay in the now. So that's what you learn if you do the fourth step in the big book, and you learn which character defects you want to have removed all the time so you can be the person God created. Now, the way the big book's set up is they describe step four and how you do it. A lot of people do it different ways. I do the fourth step with the sponsee. I have them write the resentments, do the first three columns. Then we look at it from a different angle. Then we say the prayers. We forgive everybody. Then we do the what was our mistakes. Then we do the list of fears. I just covered the second step proposition exercise on the site and here. That's an exercise that looks at when you're choosing God as nothing and you're everything. What areas of your life are you managing, and why are you afraid to give them to God, and how does God want you to be? And if you haven't read that, look at it on the site. It's under resources. Listen to the podcast. You make a little card, you carry it around. You're worried about money. You say, I'm worried about money. Why am I afraid to give money to God? How does God want me to be? So there are ways of doing it. I strongly suggest that everybody I work with, that before they get involved in a relationship, they do the sex inventory. I don't know that that's ever happened, but that was a joke. I've never seen anything cause more harm to all of us alcoholics than our relationships. And you have to be very careful. And that sex inventory asks a bunch of questions. You look at your behavior, and it helps you change the way you see a relationship so that you can have positive relationships. We don't want to use people anymore. We don't want to be selfish. So there are ways of doing it. The big book's written for the person that I've done, because remember, there was no AA when they did the big book. There were 3 meetings. There were 70 people sober. So they sent this book out that you were supposed to do this, and then you would find somebody to discuss it with in your fifth step, and then you would work the steps out of here, and then you would carry the message. So the book is the 12th step to the world. The book is the directions. The book's the path. So we're into action now. So everything up to this has been analysis or thinking. There is action in the 4th step. You're writing things down. You're looking at things. You're being honest with another person. So let's look at some of this. And it says, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? So you've written out all the stuff that I just talked about. And it tells you what you're trying to do with steps 4 and 5. You're trying to get a new attitude about what? What do you think they're talking about? A new attitude towards God. A new attitude towards the world. A new attitude to the way I see other people. A change away from me towards God and my fellows. A new relationship with my Creator, in which my Creator is my director and I'm not directing the world. And the other new attitude I have is I see where I'm wrong now, and I'm quickly to admit it. I can see where my thinking's wrong now, and I don't have to defend my bad thinking. I don't have to defend my resentments anymore, or my fears, or my harms to others. I don't have to do that. I can let go of that. It's freeing. And I have another new attitude, that if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. It's never them anymore. Now, I didn't like that the first time I heard it. I thought that was pretty bad. And it couldn't possibly be true, because I knew some people who really were disturbed. But it's true. If I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. It's all about me. I don't have to give people power anymore. I was talking to a nice young man today, and they have a long-seated resentment. And it's hard to get rid of those, but you don't want to keep giving power to other people anymore. And it says, discover the obstacles in my path to what? To God. The whole deal is to have a relationship with God so God can direct my life each day. And so God will tell me, if I think about going to the liquor store, God will say, bad idea, Michael. That's a bad idea. Now, I can't think through the first 3. I don't know what that's all about. Because I thought my way into the liquor store all the time. Anybody else do that? I can't think my way out of it, but with God, I can see the truth. I don't want to live on lies anymore. And so I need a new relationship with God. And the obstacles in my path to God are my wrong judgments, my wrong beliefs, and my wrong actions, which arise from my self-centeredness and my character defects. You see how it all ties together? It's not very complicated. Now, you could be sober a long time. You can have the big book memorized, and you could still be blocked from God every day. How do you do it? You wake up and you're awake, and you start thinking, and you think about yourself, and you think about your plans, and what you want, what you need, and all that crap. And so we learn how, when we do that, we don't feel good, and how we need to stop and get back to God. So steps 10 and 11 is how we stay on the path every day, even though we get off beam, how we get back on the beam. So 4 through 9 is how we get in the world of the Spirit, so we have a chance each day. And 10 and 11 is how we do it each day. Now, it's very hard to live one day at a time new in AA if you're carrying around all this resentment and fears and you don't understand your thinking. and don't see how it's wrong. That's why I suggest you do the steps right away, not wait. Dr. Bob, he would get them, he'd have them get down on their knees. First day, he gave them one day off to sober up. And then he'd go in the room and he'd say, get down on your knees and give your life to Christ. That's what he said. And if they didn't want to do it, he went in the next room. And they worked the steps in 4 days and they went home. And then they did quiet time every day, prayer and meditation, and they had one meeting a week. And so they didn't mess around. They carried these cards around with their character defects and then with the characteristics of God, and they would check all day which ones they were doing. And then they'd compare them to see how they were doing. So it was a constant effort to stay in relationship with God. We have ascertained the rough way what the trouble is. The trouble is me and my thinking. Anybody relate to that? Now, I wrote here at the top, I don't remove the obstacles. They're cast out. They're just cast out. And that's scripture. They're just cast out. But I have to be willing to let go. If I'm holding on to my old ideas, if I'm holding on to my character defects, they're not going to go away. But if I'm willing to let go and I see the truth and how they're harming me, God will take them away. But I can't fix myself. I can't get real smart and get analyzed and do this. I just have to see what I'm wrong about and let go of it all the time. And that's easy. God will take it away and he'll replace it with something else. Joe and Charlie make the point all the time that we don't have a vacuum in our head. If he removes anger, he's going to put love in there. If he removes impatience, he's going to put tolerance. It's going to happen. See, we're short of tolerance and patience. I got too much anger and too much impatience. You see what I mean? And so we want to let go of what we have too much of and get what we're short of. And it's a process. But if you've done it a long time, you see how you're doing better. You're not as disturbed. You don't get as bothered. You recognize right away when you're off the beam. And it's practice. Jan behind me gave me this thing years ago about spiritual fitness. Remember that, Jan? Yes. And it says when you start out in AA, it's like exercising. You're very unfit spiritually. You got to work out all the time, and the more you do it, the more spiritually fit you get. And remember to be have the alcohol to see the truth about alcohol. On page 85, it says you have to be in fit spiritual condition. And so, thank you. And is that you?
Stop.
All right. One of our members is going to do push-ups out in the hall. Yeah, he's locked the door. All right. So it says now these are about to be cast out. Now to have them cast out, you have to be able to admit to God and another human being and ask them to be cast out. So step five is where you're discussing the truth with someone. And the discussing the truth with yourself won't help. Why? Because your problem's in your own mind. You can't see the truth. And so that's why it has to be done with someone else. It says this requires action on our part, which when completed will mean that I've admitted to God, to myself, and a human being the exact nature of the defects. And I have to do that every day. I have to call people sometimes and tell them what's going on. They tell me, I'm lucky I have a very good, kind, loving wife who's very quick to tell me when my thinking's wrong. And she's usually right. And I say, you're right, honey. And she says, well, what do you think about that? And you're disturbed. There's something wrong with you. And blah, 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 you know. When they learn the program, it gets pretty dangerous. Anyway, but it's great. I mean, I'm lucky. I live with someone that can straighten me out. Or if not, she'll tell me, call Mark. Call my sponsor or call Stu or Grady. We don't need to keep it in ourselves anymore. We admit to God to ourselves the exact nature of our defects. We need to know that. We need to understand our self-centered personality and how we don't want to live that way anymore. Because 6 and 7 is, remember, the step that separates the men from the boys or the women from the girls or whatever it is. It's the one that changes you. How do I change from being selfish to unselfish all day long? Step 6 and 7, where you always spend like 6 to 8 weeks on those steps. And I usually do drop the rock and steps we took, carry the message, because there's only 2 paragraphs in the big book. Why? Because I just told you, they carried the cart around all the time. They did it all the time. They did 6 and 7 all the time. This brings us to the fifth step of the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. Now, we do have a program of recovery. We only have one program of recovery in AA. Now, I hear a lot of people talk about being in the program. Have you ever heard that? You can't be in the program. You're either doing the program or you're not doing it. You can be in the fellowship, and you can go to meetings and be in the social fellowship, but either you're working the program or not. The program is the steps. Either you're doing the steps with someone or you're not doing the steps. And so you have to be able to understand what the program of recovery is to do it, and that's why we study the book, because the book is teaching us the program of recovery. It says this is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. Now, this is really good. There's doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Why? Because it's my self-appraisal of my resentments and my fears and my conduct. It's never going to work. I can't see the truth. I have old ideas. I have to. Step 5, 4 and 5 is where you see all your old ideas. I had an old idea today. I love to see my old ideas. I don't like Jason's Deli. I decided I didn't like it. So I've never been. So Matt said, we're going to go to Jason's Deli. I said, I don't like it. I've never been. He says, try it. I went. I had the best sandwich I've had in Topeka. I love it. I love seeing my old ideas. Anybody else have old ideas? Chuck C. said that when he wakes up every morning, he asks God to find out what else he's wrong about. Because the more we find out we're wrong about, the freer we get. That's how we get free. And so I've had a lot of old ideas through the years, and I still keep finding them. But the really bad old ideas I had, I've tried to let go of. It says, many of us thought it necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. So here's a few good reasons why you should do the fifth step. And they're very clear here. The first, if you skip this step, you're not going to overcome drinking. And it's vital. Vital means necessary for life. Well, we drink because we drink on lies. We drink because we drink on fear, right? We drink on shame and guilt. We drink on anger. And unless we learn how to deal with that and change the way we see that, we're in danger of drinking. Why? Because alcohol fixed those things at one time. Now, of course, when you get to the end, alcohol doesn't fix anything. It makes it worse. But your mind tells you you need a drink. Now, if you're an alcoholic and your mind tells you you need a drink, are you going to drink? Yes, if you're an alcoholic. You have no power or choice. And you don't know when that's going to come. So that's why it's important to do these steps and to keep doing it. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. And the facts, I wrote facts, are really not, it's not facts. They're not true. They're distortions. We've seen things distorted. We've had on the wrong glasses. Anybody realize that? I wore Michael-centered glasses. And I didn't have God-centered glasses. And I saw everything wrong. I knew when people didn't like me. Anybody else know that? I can look at the room and know if you don't like me. And then I react to that. And then I don't like you. Anybody do that? Yeah, or we'll decide how somebody's going to do something and take something away. And we know they're going to do it, or we're not going to get something in fear. And it was just crazy. And so those were the facts that I don't want to live on anymore. And trying to avoid this humbling experience, it is humbling, but it's very freeing. And if you find somebody who's worked with a lot of people, they love you. And in fact, you think all your crap is so important. It is so important. Oh, and my God, I told them this. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I've worked with a lot of people in this room, and I can't remember which was his crap or his crap. And I can't remember the crap, and what were the names of the ex-girlfriends or wives or all this. You can't remember all the stuff. It's all the same. The names just change. It's all the same. We're not that different. We all have the same crap. And we don't have to be ashamed of it. We just have to be not want to practice it anymore. Now, how did I forgive myself? And I still think of all these bad things I did. You know, when you're retired, you have a lot of time to think. And like I'll say, well, why did I do that when I was 20? That was really... And here's what I've learned. I had the wrong manager. It wasn't I was a bad person. I had the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of managing well. I tried so hard. Anybody else try? Mm-hmm. It was exhausting. And all I wanted was love and approval. And I wanted it from out there. And as long as you want love and approval from out there becomes your higher power. I need to get love and approval from in here with God. And when I feel good with God, everything out there is okay. Does that make sense? So it says we turn to easier methods. What were the easier methods? Well, there's the 1-2-3 drink step. Anybody ever heard that? The AA waltz. 1-2-3 drink. There's easier methods. You could get drunk. You could use drugs. You can do half measures. You can do step zero. I did a whole meeting on step zero. It's on the site, Thoughts of Recovery. Step zero, I heard from Joe Hawk, who was just wonderful. He's passed away. He was such a great speaker. He said step zero is when you have the grace of God come into your life and you can see the truth and you can admit complete defeat. But then you're not doing any work. So how long can you stay at step zero before you're going to drink again? And you see, God won't do for us what we could do for ourselves, and that grace will run out because your ego rebuilds. You have that moment of complete humility and defeat, but then your ego rebuilds. And so you want to try to keep doing this. When do you have to not work the steps? How long can you be sober to not work the steps? Never. It's a continuous program of recovery. It's a daily reprieve from a stay of execution. What I did yesterday won't help me today. Think about it. It's good, but I need to do it today. And we went through on pages 84 to 88 how you live every day. How you live during the day, how you review at night, what you do in the morning, your prayers and meditation. 4 pages, it tells you everything you have to do. So almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, I don't know how you could do the rest of the program if you haven't done 4 and 5. They wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. So does this mean you get Minute Maids or whatever they're called? You clean your house and you're not going to drink again? You're cleaning your house. What house are you cleaning? Your mind. You're cleaning your mind from all the crap that's blocking you from God. Joe and Charlie explained it really well. They said, my mind when I came here was a 7-Eleven. And you walk into the 7-Eleven, you have all the stuff on the, you know, all the displays. That was all my resentment. Then you have the glass cases with all the drinks. That was all my fear. And then there's always a back room where I had shame and guilt. Now they make the point, how can God direct that mind? He can't. So that's why it's so important for me to get rid of those. And I have to get rid of them every day. That's what I've been talking about, how you live the deal. And so what did they hold on to? They hold on to fear, resentment, shame, and guilt. So they took inventory, all right, but we hung on to some of the worst items in stock. And then I'll finish with these lines. They only thought. Notice thoughts in squiggly writing. They had lost their egoism and fear. Now, egoism is an excessive concern for oneself with exaggerated feelings of self-importance. Anybody have that? And it's not good, by the way. And fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility. That's what we need to learn, to be humble. That on ourselves, there's nothing. We need everything from God. Fearlessness, courage, and we have to be honest in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. And then I'm going to end with that. I'm just going to say, you don't write out your life story and read it to somebody. Nobody wants to read it. They don't want to know where I went to college and what my grades were, and, you know, did I make the Little League team and blah, blah, blah. It's your story in your head of how you saw your life of run on self. And that's what you're writing out when you do your resentments, your fears, your harms, your conduct. You're writing out this. And I'll tell you something else. When you write out your first story, 5 years later, it changes. I love Sandy Beach said the longer he stayed sober, the better his childhood got. And the better his parents got. You see? There's a lot of truth to that. So I hope this was helpful. We spent a lot of time just in a few paragraphs, but it's so important to understand the process. If we had new people here, I hope they see what we're trying to do here. So we'll open it up. Thank you.